This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. It is day one of the NFL draft this evening. You'll be able to hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Starting at 7. Starting at 7 is when you will get the picks. 6 o'clock is when Texas Radio starts getting you hyped and ready for the NFL draft. But all sorts of things moving and shaking as probably the second biggest singular event on the NFL calendar gets ready to descend upon us. Descend upon Green Bay, Wisconsin, to be specific in the location. Hey, John Lopez, who is the player, like the single player that probably has been most attached, or do you feel like has been the most attached to the Texans?
That would be the one that we just mentioned, probably Kelvin Banks Jr., I would say.
I think that that's right. Like, it does feel like that's the case. I know that early on, it's kind of funny watching the trend that it took over the course of this draft season, because it felt like earlier was a lot of Egbuka. We definitely saw some Kelvin Banks pop up
there. That was early,
there.
Too, yeah.
It was relatively early. Where else did we get to? We got a lot of Tyler Booker, and that's kind
of happened.
We got a
lot of Gray Zabel.
Gray Zabel definitely happened relatively early a lot, especially very soon thereafter
Senior Bowl.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of that. But Kelvin Banks still feels like he falls in there. And to that end, I mean, Daniel Jeremiah, a man who was very well-respected, very tapped in, of NFL Network. This was what he said as relates to the Texans and Kelvin Banks Jr.
But what if they added Emeka Ubuka?
CJ Stroud might have something to say about that. I don't know. CJ would like, I would like to be a little better protected than I was last year, but I wouldn't mind throwing to my friend and Emeka Ubuka.
I think you need for them.
Yeah, I think I would have to take Banks. I have a little higher grade on Ubuka. It's close, but I don't see how they leave that round without an offensive lineman. So I'm going to go offensive lineman.
Okay.
I was told the Houston Texans will not pass on Banks if he was there.
That's the part. Now, that whole setup, that was on Mina Kimes' show. They were doing what she calls a mock war room, where she gives these various draft scouts to players and makes them decide for the team. Obviously, he selected Banks over Egbuka. But the reason why I brought that up, that happened, I think, last week, is that according to some reports, according to Vegas, which you can decide how much you value their opinions here, whether they're guessing or whether they have insight of some sort.
Yeah.
A late shift in the betting odds suggests that the Texas offensive tackle, not yet Texans, we'll see, Kelvin Banks Jr. could go to the Raiders with the 6th overall pick, which is much higher, much. In fact, that would be, in theory, that would probably be above where Armand Membu would go, a tackle that had been considered one of the two best tackles with him and Will Campbell. And some people like Membu more because he has longer arms compared to Will Campbell, who has shorter arms. And yet and still, Kelvin Banks could go as high as 6 as a guy that reports have as the Texans' probably favorite offensive lineman or what have you.
Yeah, and I mentioned, when we were talking about Nick Caserio's sort of DNA, his draft DNA, that he's want to move up in the draft and get a player from an SEC, and we kind of landed on Kelvin Banks as one of the likely ones. They can't get that high. They really don't want to, I should say, give up that much to get up to number 6, number 8, number 10, whatever, somewhere in there.
I can't imagine.
So that's why if he goes there, and he could well. The Raiders have been all over the place in terms of, projections and stuff, but, a left tackle like that would be a huge building block.
Yeah, and that's that. I think that that's maybe where you see, you know, obviously Nick Caserio doing his due diligence to look at what's happening above him, mm-hmm. but maybe that ends up being an inspiration for moving up, because if you've got Kelvin Banks going that early, again, we might be seeing a potential run on offensive linemen.
Yeah, it might
linemen.
Trigger them to move up somewhere else.
You know? I mean, maybe to get a guy that they like. It mm-hmm. still feels like there's a lot of guys that, you know, in that offensive line group that seem like they could fit within the parameters that the Texans have culture-wise, but then also that play a good brand of football that mm-hmm. you know, maybe they could stick a pick, or at least maybe not have to go up nearly as high. Some other scuttlebutt happening from newsmakers. This is according to Tom Pelissero. Tom Pelissero says that the Panthers, who currently sit at number 8, are making calls about moving down.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that allows them, they're allowed to kind of do that, or they have the freedom to do that in some ways, because they just need so many different players that they're not necessarily locked in on, hey, we need this certain player. And then that they, if they move back, they could probably still address one of those needs because you have so many of them and garner a bigger pool of talent. And that would be right before number 9, where the Saints could get a, where in theory could get a quarterback, considering that they still don't have any clarity with Derek Carr. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they, Mickey Loomis says that they're not, that's not going to impact their draft, but you know, I'm not certain that that's the case, but that maybe can mean that you're seeing some more action on the trade up in various different ways as well.
Yeah. I think the Jets at 7 and the Panthers at 8 are a couple of teams that are primed to just start accumulating picks. You know, you look at the top of the draft, I think we're sure the top three teams are going to pretty much stay where they are in draft. You know, obviously Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. But after that, maybe the Patriots might be moving. You know, I'm always interested in this. I'm glad you brought it up. Like, which teams figure to gain the most? The young they're not in the same place as the Texans. They're not in win now mode. They need picks, and a lot of them gain the most by playing one team against the other.
Yeah,
I think the Patriots might be there, but certainly I think the Jets and the Panthers are there. So if they know that the Saints are looking for a quarterback, somebody else is looking for that quarterback, they're going to get a lot of picks.
All that speaks to something that Tom Pelissero kind of iterated or reiterated in some ways on Good Morning Football this morning.
This is the most unpredictable draft that I can remember in terms of teams not really having a good feel, not just down at the bottom of round one, in like the middle or just outside the top 10.
Tom, do you say that to all the drafts? Do we say that every year? Is this really different?
We don't. In a normal draft, there'd be teams would have 18, 20, 22 first-round grades on players. This year you talk to teams, just like 8, 10, 12 blue-chip type players. And then there's this big clump of, depending what team, 20 or 30 guys who all could come off the board in different orders. And nobody quite knows exactly where the runs are going to come at different positions.
That's absolutely right. And I think you and I both agree on that. You know, most people agree on that, that it's going to be a top-heavy draft in terms of blue-chippers, as he put it. But that means that there's going to be a team out there that falls in love with a certain player that is in that sweet spot that's going to want to move up and make sure they get him.
Yeah. So that, I think all that uncertainty in some ways makes it really tough. That's where it's really tough when you're later on in the pick or in the draft, because if you had some certainty on how it would fall, it gives you a little bit of clarity. And I think that is why I don't disagree in any means by any means with the, you know, reporting that the Texans have called around about moving up. Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
He seems to be very diligent in his work, and I would expect him to have sussed out all the various different possibilities. I don't know that I have a level of certainty, even with the history that he displays, even with the you know, capital that he has and the assets that he has at his disposal, that a move up is definitely in the cards for him, at least when it comes to from 25.
I think it's more than likely. I think it's a 60 to 70% chance. It's just the way he is. And like every, I mean, he's human, even though, you know, he kind of comes across as a cyborg sometimes, but he's human. He and his staff have a player or two or five that they really like, but a particular player that is going to be right there that maybe drops a little bit, I could absolutely see him move up.
Do you have like a top three targets that you're looking for the Texans?
I think they're going to draft a wide receiver. I haven't moved off of that in a long time.
Wide receiver is an interesting one because of the way that the wide receiver, you know, stack is, you know, looking. You kind of take Travis Hunter out of this, even though he's probably the best wide receiver you have McMillan, you have Egbuka, you have Golden. And then outside of that, who are you really looking at? And that feels like that's a tough space. I guess if you were looking at wide receiver, then I could absolutely see you saying, hey, we kind of need to move up in order to get.
I don't have any intel. It's the old gut feeling, you know.
The gut got going.
Everybody's saying offensive lineman. I could easily see them drafting an offensive lineman. It clearly is a need. I just keep going back to logic and, you know, what they need and the offense and needing another target for him. And I literally just said that his DNA says he's going to move up and try to pick Kelvin Banks. Like, that's what his DNA says. But his DNA also says that he's prone to make a rather shocking move up for someone, you know, and I think that might be wide receiver.
Okay. Some other things that are going around the NFL. Diana Russini of The Athletic reported earlier today that the Browns, Giants, and Patriots, as you mentioned the Patriots a little bit, have all received trade calls about picks number 2 through 4, which is kind of crazy because those are the spaces that it felt pretty solid. It felt like the Browns were at a place where they're locked in. And receiving calls does not mean that they will inherently absolutely move back.
Yeah.
But it feels like the Browns are largely locked in on the prospect of adding Travis Hunter to their roster, playing a majority at wide receiver and working in cornerback stuff. And then that would leave the Giants to take Abdul Carter. Except now there's a possibility that maybe one of those teams trades out.
I'd be shocked if the top three is not. I feel like the draft is going to start at pick 4. I think the top three are going to be the obvious ones that you just mentioned. Taking calls, as you said, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make a move, but if somebody really, really goes nuts, then maybe you change.
I mean, do you see somebody making a call to try to get Travis Hunter, though?
Maybe, like I said, but they're going to have to really come in with all kinds of big-time equity. I think the draft is going to start at pick 4. That's just me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I just don't see anybody trying to move all the way up to 2 for Travis.
But if you get that Nick Caserio move up to 3, you know, for Will Anderson, I mean, for who went 3rd? I forget. It was Will Anderson.
Yep.
Then, if somebody really gives you a lot.
Yeah, but we ain't talking about no quarterback or nothing, man. Yeah. I just don't see it, man.
Mm-hmm. All right, so with all that being the case, just wanted to point to all the movings and shakings. Could this be a moving or shaking itself? Because within the draft day, we talk about trades, and yes, sometimes it's picks, but sometimes people trade for players.
Yes, they do.
We talked about the likes of like Evan Neal, Kayshon Booty, who's still kind of an interesting guy out there that maybe could be trade targets. I'm not saying specifically for the Texans because I don't think that he fits the swarm mentality. Mm-hmm. However, do you believe at all that there's some smoke or there's some fire to this smoke here? Apparently, wide receiver George Pickens has unfollowed the Steelers' Instagram.
Oh, boy.
And he's been a part of trade rumors. Do you think that we can see George Pickens on a new team at least by the time this weekend is over?
I do. But what would the compensation be? It would be low, wouldn't it?
He is a good player, but that knucklehead nature that he has in there.
Maybe a 3rd or a 4th?
I was thinking 5th.
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know.
You know, goes to a team, new start, all that jazz. But I wouldn't give more than a 5th for him, would you?
No.
Yeah.
No, and he's an incredibly talented player. That's the tough part.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I do wonder, like, how valuable do you view a guy who kind of exists as jump ball guy?
Oh, I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of value. I think coaches, offensive coordinators, I mean, you every team has that guy. Oh, he's a good red zone guy. Oh, he's a good – the Texans have him, you know. He's a good red zone. No, I think that there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah.
How would you feel if he go to the Chiefs?
Not good.
That tone changed a lot.
Not good.
you don't want to give them any more weapons. However, at the same time, the last few times they've gotten some knuckleheads in there, it hasn't really entirely gone the way that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I'd be entirely afraid of
them. They'll probably still get to the Super Bowl, probably.
Yeah. They have some moving and shaking on their offensive line, the Chiefs have. So, yeah. I mean, look, we've seen the importance of an offensive line, particularly with the Chiefs themselves. So I do wonder how that falls for them. Real quick, I did want to get to, and of course, it left me as soon as I wanted to go there, but I did want to get to some bold predictions for this NFL draft that's happening tonight. You hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. But NFL.com put out some bold predictions for week 1 or for night 1 of the NFL draft. And I want wanted to kind of get your feel on whether you agreed with any of these or not. First and foremost, Ashton Jeanty, pick before number six.
Ooh.
So it feels like the real place that you have Raiders. An opportunity there is five with the Jacksonville Jaguars, as there's been a little bit of heat there.
I'm going to say no. I think he's got Raiders written over him. Raiders are six, right?
Yes, they are six. Yeah. Okay, so you've got Raiders. At least seven edge rushers drafted in the first round between Abdul Carter, Jalen Walker, Mykal Williams. Those seem like the easy ones. Mike Green. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the Donovan Ezeraku and James Pierce is where you start getting kind of interesting.
That's a bit much. I'm going to go that's off.
Okay. And then despite the speculation of three quarterbacks, bold take, you only get two quarterbacks in the first round.
Oh, I'm in with that. I think the two quarterbacks are going to be Cam Ward and Jackson Dart.
Mm. Where you got Jackson Dart falling?
You
don't know who, but you're you think somebody.
I don't know who, but there are teams that I think might move up. That might be one of those things hopping the Saints.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Yeah. From the 281, when they're talking about players being traded and acquired, Jameson Williams has the speed to take the top off. That's a guy who's out there who seems like he might be gettable in a draft day trade as well. A lot of things to watch on this NFL night one for night one of the NFL draft. And there's a lot of coverage of it right here on Sports Radio 610. You'll be live right here, live and local, starting at 6 with Texas Radio and then into the NFL draft round one right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. Let's keep going with draft talk. Let's do our last chance, really, at doing an NFL mock draft check-in.
The final mocks are in.
Let's see what the final mocks are telling us about the possibility of what your Texans will do that next.